I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of
Hari Om, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I guess we got a little bit of a later start tonight due to some technical issues, but I appreciate your hanging in there, and I hope I can make it well worth your wait. Now, this evening, we're going to be talking about magic. We're going to be talking about Wizardry 101, and I guess the theme of tonight's program will be the word imagination. I, magi, nation. We're a nation of magicians. And hopefully tonight, many wizards out there will start to appreciate the power that they truly have. And to kind of get the ball rolling tonight, first of all, I'd like to really give my thanks and appreciation to our listening audience, because it's so great to know there's so many people out there who can tune into the kind of information that's being given on ET Yoga. And I'd also like to throw out a challenge to our listening audience this evening. And in the vein of magic, my challenge is to throw a positive spin on listening to the show tonight and then objectively judge how that turns out. In other words, you might say something like, something really joyous is going to happen from my listening to this program this evening. There's going to be something out there that I'm going to hear tonight that's really going to click for me. And do that with emotion. So that's my challenge. And the show this evening is really designed that way. There's different parts along the program that will be designed as a succinct idea that once it sinks in and filters through and you really get it, that will make a profound difference in your practical day-to-day life. And a lot of the information this evening will be coming from Bashar, as well as Marilyn the Magician, and which is connected with the Merlin the Magician, and also the Ultimate Truths of Reality from the College of Christ Consciousness. So to get the ball rolling, I'm going to start with one of Bashar's quotes, and it is, "You are not ever given a desire without also being given the ability to accomplish that desire." And kind of a further explanation to that sort of is that there's always two sides to a coin. And you can't conceive what you don't contain. And thus, you're never given a desire without also being given the ability to accomplish that desire. So hopefully that will touch upon you in the area of confidence. Next, you do not get peace by hating war. You get peace by loving peace. Hate only reinforces the things you say you do not prefer. And this goes into the concept that going against negative energy only perpetuates its existence. And thus, the proper approach is to always focus your energy on creating something positive. And some of these typical national programs like the war against cancer, the war against terrorism, the war against this, the war against that, consciously or unconsciously, these attitudes and approaches are creating the exact opposite of what some maybe well-meaning people might want to achieve, but some purposeful intent is also involved. And I'd like to share with you, because we did a program last week that talked about the new miracle cure for cancer, the miracle mineral supplement, and that was Jim Humble, and you can see that at his interview at Project Camelot. And I heard an amazing statistic this week that apparently a few years back, about 20 years back, the cancer rate was 1 in 25. Now it's 1 in 2. Well, here's some related material to that concept that ties in with our last point. And it's from the College of Christ Consciousness, which is material that was channeled through Mother Mary by Jean Hatch. And then it, under lesson number 2, talks about fear. What you deny is what you fear, and what you fear is what you judge. When you judge something as negative or evil, you will automatically respond with fear. You may say, oh, I wouldn't attract something like that into my life. I'm not going to give it any energy by thinking about it. This is a response of denial. What you aren't understanding is that it is your vibration that is the attracting force rather than your words. Vibration is composed of two ingredients, thought and emotion. When you think a judgmental thought and couple it with fear, the emotion, you create a very powerful attracting force. It is our observation that this is the energy most of you use most of the time to create your reality. It is also why so many of your creations aren't what you prefer. You are attracting based on the vibration of fear and then denying that you are in fear. Denial only suppresses the emotion. It does not eliminate it. When you say, I'm not going to give it any energy by thinking about it, be aware that you are in that moment giving it energy and attracting it into your life through the vibration of fear, which comes from judgment. Your state of denial only keeps you from feeling the fear. It does not stop the attraction. If you fear something often enough, long enough, you will eventually attract it into your life. This is a guarantee because it follows God's law of attraction, law of cause and effect. And here's an example of creating through fear. This type of thinking, then denying, is the cause behind most, but not all, cases of cancer. There is so much fear generated around this one disease via an ongoing, very vigorous marketing campaign that it manifests in physical life on a daily basis simply because of the process of vibration attraction, and not as others would have you believe because of genetic history, environment, food, water, air, etc. It manifests only in one's response, one's vibration of fear of it. Look around you. Start becoming aware of the massive advertising your society does to promote fear of cancer under the guise of fighting cancer. Those marketing cancer know that whatever you resist, you create through the law of attraction. Even your society's drives to raise money, donations, for the cause of cancer are promoting cancer. They do this by triggering fear, which will actually result in increasing the rate of cancer. When people respond to these campaigns by donating money to them, they are actually assisting the rate increase. The motivation behind the donation, in many cases, is denial. The donation helps one cover up their own fear of cancer so they won't have to feel it. So, if you want to go and create something positive, don't go against the negative. And as Bashar would also say, once you go against the negative, you only bring yourself down to that frequency. Now, the next point I'm going to give should be written, if it was written down, it would be huge, huge capital letters. And it is, giving meaning is the actual act of creation itself. I'm going to repeat that one. Giving meaning is the actual act of creation itself. To give meaning to something is to create it into existence in your particular experiential realm. And this goes back to the top of the show when I asked everyone to put a positive spin on listening to the show tonight. And in Bashar's teachings, he will talk about the fact that external circumstances don't matter. Only your state of being matters. What state of being do you prefer? Well, if you prefer joy, then throw a joyful spin on the outer circumstance. And the rule of thumb there is positive experience or positive meaning in, positive experience out. Negative judgment or negative meaning in, negative experience will be the result. And this is a point that I've challenged people pretty much week after week on ET Yoga to try it, because when you get it, it's going to stun you because it works. And kind of the way it works is that there is an infinite number of possibilities all out there, kind of like millions and billions of different channels, like a television station that you can tune to. And by placing a positive meaning on an outer circumstance, you will get a positive experience. And once you kind of get this, it amazes you at first, and then you kind of try it with different types of circumstances. And if you're a little bit patient, even with the ones that you might view a little bit more negative initially, you'll see that in the long run there is a jewel at the end. And so this is one of the key facts in my way of thinking towards reality creation, is that this is a very, very powerful technique. And that even by, I guess, from an objective point of view, two people can look at a circumstance and they might both think it's negative, and one puts a positive spin on it and turns it into a positive experience, and the other one puts a negative spin on it and it's a negative experience. And maybe even both of them might think that, well, it looked negative to begin with. But when you put the positive spin on it, by both people's perception, it'll turn into a positive situation. And I challenge our listening audience to do that, because it is, to my way of thinking, the key to everything. That giving meaning is the actual act of creation itself. Now, you will know why your reality is the way it is, and you can create it to be the way you prefer it to be as soon as you believe you are capable of doing so. It is completely up to you. Society has taught you that seeing is believing, whereas it is actually believing is seeing. That's how it works. Now, your belief could be unconscious, so that by the time you see the manifestation of it, you think, oh, it is the seeing of this idea that has created the belief within me. And so you are looking to see things that will generate in you the beliefs you think you want. But the only way you see those things to begin with is to already have the belief that you will see them. Then your physical external reality forms the symbols that are reflective of that belief. Seeing it in your reality is what lets you know you have the belief. So the belief no longer has to remain unconscious. So, you know, when things outside keep repeating, you think that objectively it's true, because this reinforces your conscious belief. But so the trick here is to know that nothing outside is happening unless you have the belief within, and the fact that it is happening outside tells you you have the belief. The next important point is, do you know personally, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the being you desire to be, you're capable of being? Well, if the answer is yes, then start using that certainty to your advantage. Your ability to imagine what you would like to be is your ability to be that person, that version of you. Whatever vibratory plane you are on is what you experience. If you have the ability to conceive how you want to be, at the moment you conceive it, you are that person. But when you deny your imagination its reality and say, okay, I've imagined what I would like to be, now what do I have to see, what do I have to do to become this idea? You are placing all of the steps in your way that it's taking for you to get there. Your ability to imagine that person is being that person. Because if you weren't of that vibration, you wouldn't be able to picture it. All you need to do in realizing your imagination is real, and at that moment is who and what you actually are, is to act as if you are. Believe you are that person. And as Bashar would say, create the fact of being happy, and you will attract into your lives all of the causes to support the happiness you have created, just because you want to. And I think this is a real heavy one, and it's based on the idea that, and it's called being the dimension. You now exist, you think, in a physical universe. Your fourth density transformation is where you begin to realize you are the creator of your reality. What that means is that physical reality is your expression, is your projection, is your creation that is actually made of you. It means you are actually it. That physical reality is you. When you really grasp this, you then see yourself literally as the dimension of experience of which you previously thought you were only a component. That's how it is for every level. You begin to realize you are the dimension itself that you previously thought you were only a part of. And here's the wonderful paradox of the whole circumstance. Each and every single one of you, as an individual, will experience yourselves becoming the whole dimension. Each of you will think that all the other consciousnesses you have seen as individuals are being, in a sense, absorbed in you. And you will have the same experience because the universe is holographically structured. That means that any point of view can exist equally everywhere within creation, and that all parts, points of view, are relevant and all true. And one of the comments that Bashar made that I think is really hits that one right on the head is that he said that after the death experience, when you regain consciousness on an astral plane and you look back at the life that you just had, that experience, that earth, was you. Next, when you live in the moment, you don't create as much time. Only the waiting for something else creates the time that happens in between. Everything, though real, is transitory because it is all the product of your imagination. Physical reality is only what you dream it to be, what you imagine it to be, what you define it to be. That's all. But that's the reality of it. You always get, in physical reality, only what you already believe to be the most likely reality you'll get. And only when you choose to truly believe with your whole heart and soul, this is really what I'm all about, this really is the way I prefer to be, when you generate that feeling and that desire and that energy within you, then your outer reality has absolutely no choice but to reflect that inner feeling, that inner knowingness. And in Bashar's book, Blueprint for Change, a message actually comes through from the Orion. And it goes like this. Magic is the personification of the mass consciousness through an individual. The formation of polarities within your system, positive, negative, when blended into a third persona that is neither and both, all three together form the interaction in mentality that will actually create an effect in the electromagnetic field of the planet on which you now reside. And in your history, I'm told, this effect is referred to as magic. And to create the type of life that you desire, Bashar says, you need to do really but two things. Realize that everything is synchronicity. There are no accidents. And number two, act upon the opportunity that your conscious recognition of everything as synchronicity brings you with integrity. These two ideas are all you need to create the life you desire. What is integrity? Integrity is the recognition that if you are aware that everything is one thing and you are part of it, then you are recognized that you have everything you would need, everything you want, without having to force yourself upon anyone else to do it. Act with integrity upon the opportunities you create, and it will always perpetuate more of the first idea that everything is synchronicity. Always, because you, in acting integrally with all that is, with synchronicity, will always maintain your connection to it consciously. Acting outside of integrity separates you and stops the process between one and two. It does not allow the acting to generate conscious awareness of synchronicity. Now, when we talk about what a coincidence, just what I needed, right place, right time, everything else doesn't really matter. The point is not to have the conscious recognition. The point is to act as if you know that what is occurring is synchronicity. And what stands out is what you need to know, the way you need to know it, And if you simply move upon whatever you can move upon, the things that excite you and feel correct, all the circumstances that have occurred to you in your life will fall into place and make sense. And it's sort of a, I guess, as I would call it, kind of a last word of hope for those that are taking their time and grasping this reality creation concept and how thought creates and how thought embraced with emotion creates external experience. I think this is a real boost to our confidence. Even if at some point you may feel that you do not have what you need and you do not have what it takes, very often all that is necessary is to say, I may believe I do not have it now, but at least I'm willing to have it. Then act to the best of your ability on what you can do. Use your imagination and let the rest take care of itself. Be bold, for no one will turn you away. There is always an appropriate audience for everything you truly need to say, and you will find that audience. There is never an actor who is born without an audience being born at the same time for that actor. Can't prove it to you, wouldn't want to try, but it works for us. That's Bashar. And you are no different. You fall into the same one law of creation. What you put out is what you get back. See for yourself. Do. Think is wonderful. Believe is wonderful. Feel is wonderful. However, doing is what creates the reality you wish to experience. Follow your excitement. And that links us up, this advice about doing, with some of the information from Marilyn the Magician. And for those who haven't discovered the Creative Camelot Club, I would highly suggest you check that out. It's a great website and all about fourth dimension. And one of the first sayings of Marilyn is, the magic of the message is only as good as one allows oneself to put it into practice. Again, referring our listeners to the doing. And she gives an analogy to King Arthur pulling the sword from the stone. Those who failed were trying to use physical force for their power, rather than allowing the force of the source to be their power. When you feel negative emotion, the sword remains stuck in the stone. The sword of truth is freed from the stone when you feel positive emotion. And connecting that with Bashar's teaching, Bashar indicates that when you run energy through positive beliefs, those that are in alignment with your higher self, the emotional reactions are excitement and joy and unconditional love, compassion, gratitude. But that when you run the same energy through beliefs that are not true, that are not in alignment with your higher self, that's when you get the negative synchronicities. If you find yourself in a state of longing or yearning to obtain something, you have energetically separated yourself from your desire, and it can never be. You have to be it to see it, and you must see it to be it. This is where the power of paradox comes into play. When you become accomplished in your imagination, you can accomplish anything. You cannot score a touchdown if you're running in the opposite direction of the goal line. Break the illusions that bind you and leave them behind you as you see what is surely ahead of you. This is casting a spell by knowing that all is well. And in this connection, Bashar would say that the primary responsibility of the rational mind is to put a positive spin on outer circumstances. And, of course, it's a lot easier when you're in a great mood and you're out there practicing magic. But sometimes when things are viewed from looking at a situation and labeling it negative, it becomes a little more challenging, and you need to keep your awareness. Masters know that true freedom comes from the release of resistance. They take self-responsibility for their creations. knowing there can be no blame. They know that no one needs saving. They allow others their experience. And in this connection to the Bashar teaching, self-responsibility means taking 100% responsibility for your outer experience. And that means 100%, not, you know, just for the good things that happen, but everything, 100%. And that's your connection to fourth density. And if you want to know if you're in a victimhood state of consciousness, that's when you complain, you blame, you justify your circumstance. Anytime you're expressing those concepts, then you realize you're in a state of victimhood. And one of the keys to mastering the craft of creator is to differentiate between expectancy and expectation. To have an expectation is limiting. To be in a state of expectancy is unlimited. Your freedom lies in the exhilaration found in letting go, not of what you want, but of how, when, who, or where it will come from. The details can trip you up. If you doubt rather than trust, worry rather than wonder, fear what might come rather than love what is sure to come. And connected to the Bashar teachings, the rational mind really isn't capable of knowing the how. You visualize on the what and let the outer circumstances come to you in whatever way is optimum for that to do so. Making friends with the unknown is what makes the unknown a friendly place. Lift your sword from the stone by tuning into thoughts of appreciation, because what you appreciate, appreciates. In your complaining, you only bring more things to complain about. The better you feel, the better it gets. And next would be the best connection from Marilyn's works to my way of thinking that connect with I Magi Nation, a nation of magicians. And it is to imprint the future you desire as a memory, and it is done. Memorizing the future makes for magic, magicians. Travel to inner dimensions. Take a mind trip. Decide on a specific reality you would like to attract into your life. Simply design the dreamscape in which you see yourself living. Where are you? What are you doing? Who are you with? Take a mental picture of what that looks like, a photo thought. As you project that future event, become emotionally involved in the scenario by feeling it now. Revel in the luxury of knowing this is you by being there in your heart and mind now. As you do that, you are deliberately placing yourself at the very center of creation. Getting all your physical senses fully involved encodes a powerful message in your cellular memory. It gets easier and easier to access as it becomes a memory of what has been. Be detailed and detail-oriented about this to the extent that it feels good to do so. What are the sights, the smells, the taste, the sounds that make up your dream scene? Visit that reality again and again, just as if you were simply strolling down memory lane. Continue to refine these images over and over. Allow these visions to become like a vivid memory that you can easily recall at will. As you put your energy behind your future, you will see it manifest before you. Now you are mastering the magic of creation. And this leads us to Bashar's concept of visualization, that he talks about as having three phases for receiving the version of reality you prefer. And the first concept is first to see it. Mental. Visualize it. Imagine it. Daydream it. Visualize it clearly. You don't need to visualize it for a long time. A short time is sufficient, but you need to visualize it clearly. You need to have a solid, clear picture. Visualizing it creates the blueprint. So so see it in great detail. See it, become an efficient mental antenna to receive this version of reality. And second, feel it emotionally. Get excited and passionate about it. How would you feel if you had it now? Feel that now. Plug into your vision with all your emotions and all your senses as if you had it now. Involve all your senses. Imagine smelling it, touching it, tasting it, etc. Feel it. Become an efficient emotional antenna to receive this version of reality. And third, be it. Physical. Physical action. Do it to ground the experience. Do actions that most closely mimic the actions you see yourself doing in your vision. Gather and use whatever props mimic that scenario. And do a dry run. Doing this, make-believe physical action trains the body consciousness. This makes it real for you now, so in the universe, then delivers it to you. Note, this physical action does not directly cause this desired reality to manifest. Instead, this physical action creates a more precise vibration in yourself, making you a better antenna to receive it. By you becoming more aligned to the same vibration, the reality you desire already exists. You do not have to create it. You only have to receive it, be it. So, become an efficient physical antenna to receive this version of reality. And I should pass on a couple of hints that Bashar gave about, actually for those that have some interest in playing the lottery. And he admits that it's a challenge. But at the same time, he gives some keys. And one of the keys is that if you're passionate about playing the lottery, then one of the things you can do is to, while you're playing, observe your relationship with the concept of abundance and money. In other words, from his observations, many of us are not as passionate about playing the lottery as we say we are. And this whole concept of being passionate, I think, is another one that he brought up a few months ago. And that was that he thought the secret to the secret was actually being passionate about being passionate. So if you've had a little bit of a problem creating or manifesting, you might want to take those hints into account. And also he gives another clue. He says, for example, that it's not so much when you're picking numbers for in those types of lottery scenarios that you're picking the right numbers. It's that you want to bend the infinite possible Earth scenarios. You want to bend one of those to the numbers you've picked so that your numbers are already the right numbers. Just thought I'd pass that one on for those experimenting with that type of reality creation. You already have everything you desire. Since you contain everything and all possible versions of your reality are all actually simultaneously existing and real, you therefore already have everything you desire or could ever desire. You contain it all. You have already been given everything you could ever hope to have or want. It's just that it may not be visible and therefore real to you. Creation all exists here, now, outside time, in one eternal now moment. Therefore, everything that you believe you might someday get, you actually already have. Everything is here, now, but in varying states of visibility, invisibility, depending on the frequencies in which you are vibrating, which depends on the beliefs that you accept as real. When you pray for something, you do not need to pray to get something you do not already have, since it's already right there in front of you. Instead, you are actually praying to be able to see that you actually already have it. Because when you can see that you already have it, then your vibration frequency matches the vibration of that which you desire. And once your frequency matches with that which you desire, then it has to manifest in your realities because everything is energy. You cannot help but then get that reality because that's the physics of how the universe works. When you match frequencies with what you desire, you will then see that it has always been right here, just waiting for you to notice it and start enjoying it. And a clue about handling challenging situations. Before you start, make sure you are thinking of this as a challenge rather than a problem, because problems are by definition difficult to resolve. And it is actually the way you choose to define your reality that determines the outcome you experience. A challenge is much more likely to have a desirable outcome than a problem. Then go into your imagination and imagine the version of reality you would like to be experiencing. Make sure you are including yourself in that picture. Specifically, imagine the ideal version of you, the you you would most like to be. Then insert this current challenging situation into your imaginary scene and notice how this imaginary ideal you handles the situation. Then just copy that behavior out here. Act the same way that the you in your imagination acted when confronting the situation. You know everything you need to know to be who you desire to be at any given moment. And your external physical reality is a feedback loop to let you know what your beliefs are. This way, if your external reality is not what you prefer, you can change your beliefs in order to change your external reality. Your feelings are the result of your beliefs. To discover what your beliefs are, you can work backwards and ask yourself, what would I have to believe in order to end up feeling this way? What would I have to believe in order to end up perceiving this type of physical reality? When you change your beliefs about any particular reality or issue, you instantly also change how you feel about that particular reality or issue. This is why the interpretation or belief you give any situation determines how you feel about it. And I think the master point here is that outer circumstances just do not come with built-in meaning. Everything is a neutral prop. In a theater that shows many plays, there may be some props backstage that are frequently used for several different plays. For each play, that prop has a special meaning. But outside that play, the prop has no innate, intrinsic, built-in meaning. All the props are basically without meaning. From this innate absence of meaning, we can assign any meaning we want to them. Likewise, all the events that you are experiencing as happening in your life are neutral props. Each event you experience has no innate built-in meaning. These events are blank, neutral, no innate significance. And from this blank slate, we get to assign any significance or meaning we wish for each event we experience. If you assign a positive meaning to an event, this will produce a positive experience for you. And if you assign a negative meaning to an event, this will produce a negative experience for you. And an important connection to that idea, the corollary to this is, if an event occurs to you that you would normally automatically assign a negative meaning, this is a real bummer, I choose to assign a positive meaning to that event, even if it appears negative, and you do not yet know what is so positive about it. Just by assigning a positive meaning to this event and choosing to believe there is something really good about this for you, this will produce an experience that you will consider quite positive. Try it. Next time you think this is just terrible, turn it around and believe this is really positive. This is really going to be good. I can't wait to find out what is positive about it. You may even be startled by how effectively this works. And if we go back to the top of the show, I'm hoping by now that something already really positive already has happened to you by throwing a positive spin on listening to ET Yoga tonight. And certainly you have to follow your excitement. Act on it. Excitement is caused by a resonance with your higher self. Excitement is a sign that the activity you are contemplating is aligned with your higher self, and this alignment is what causes the excitement. This naturally leads you to what you are meant to be doing, what your soul hopes you will, free will, chooses to do. Mechanically, excitement is a high state of resonant excitation that occurs when the thinking intentions of the physical dimensional self are sharply aligned with the think intention of its own higher self. So excitement serves as a compass to let you know when you're on course, when you're doing or contemplating doing exactly what your higher self would just love to have you be doing. When you follow your excitement and do what excites you, this means that, number one, this activity is you, truly aligned with your soul. Two, because it is you, this activity is effortless for you. And three, because it is you, the universe will support you, including financial support, to continue doing this in progressively expanding ways. If you have something to give in the reality you are creating, there are people ready to receive it. If someone has a song to sing, there is an audience in that reality to hear it. Fear or anxiety is excitement with a negative judgment tagged onto it. Remove the negative judgment and you have excitement. And in connection to this, you need to trust your timing. And Bashar would say it this way. We, as our higher self over soul, actually creates time as we experience it. Our higher self exists outside time and space. It projects portions of itself into specific time-space holograms, time-space matrices, which we then experience as an incarnation. So from the point of view of any one incarnation, there is time. There is past, present, and future. But from the point of view of the higher self, there is no time. It's all happening now. It's just one big eternal now. So keep in mind that our higher self is creating the actual time that we are experiencing in a linear fashion. When we intensely want to do something now, and it is easily possible to do it, no problem. We just do it. But if we intensely want to do something now, and it is not possible to do it now, we are then at a critical decision junction. When you follow your excitement in the moment, each now moment, this leads to positive synchronicity, things magically working out in a way that is delightfully and surprisingly pleasing. When you ignore your excitement and are instead led by your fears and worries, this leads to negative synchronicity, upsetting events, the very things you wish to avoid. Positive synchronicity is the occurrence of events that are perfect reflections of your preferences and desires. Negative synchronicity is the occurrence of events that are perfect reflections of your fears and worries. We can choose to interpret this as, I'm not getting what I want, or we can choose to interpret this as, I always get what I want. If it's not available now, then there must be an excellent reason for this. Which of these choices we make is critical in determining the outcome, as this choice is equivalent to selecting a belief, and we then experience the outcome aligned with that belief. If you choose to interpret the situation as, I'm not getting what I want, then sure enough, you will continue to not get what you want. But the alternative is this. Choose to interpret the situation of not being able to get what you want to do now as, I always get what I want. I always get what I want. If it's not available now, there must be an excellent reason for this. You see, often our higher self arranges time in such a way that we do not get what we want when we initially want it, only because it wants us to first accumulate certain experiences, certain skills, certain appreciations, certain connections with other people, certain awarenesses first, so that when we do get to experience this thing we want, we will then be appreciating it and enjoying it on a much deeper and more profound level. So when you want to do something and it's not immediately available, remember, your higher self is merely delaying this experience. So you get some other experiences first so that you may enjoy and appreciate this thing you want even more. And that sort of, you know, to my way of thinking, connects us to the concept that Bashar talks about of your first, let's say, belief is like going to a canyon and shouting one and then two into the canyon, and two being your new empowered belief. And when you do that, you'll see that the echo of one is going to keep continuing to come back for a while until the new empowered belief or the second echo comes back to you. And Bashar says this is really kind of a trap for most people, because maybe you decided or you're putting a lot of energy into a new belief and it's not changing the outer circumstance. And then you give up and you basically say, well, I guess this isn't working and, you know, I'm not doing this right. But and then when you make that sort of observation, you actually disempower your new belief. But if you kind of hang in there, you'll see that the time lag is the only thing that's missing. And if you keep firm to your new empowered belief, you eventually will see the reflection and hear the secondary echo. And one of the things I always thought was amazing was the connection between the College of Christ Consciousness and much of Bashar's teaching. And in the Ultimate Truths of Reality, and we find some consistent magical beliefs. And I like to quote from that list that nothing can be in my reality unless I create it. Because no one can create in my reality but me, it's not possible for anything or anyone to be in my reality unless I attract it there. I attract through my beliefs. And these were concepts that were in the mystery schools for, well, I don't know, hundreds of years, and many of them have never been released to the public until about 2 years ago when this list came out. And another one is that everything in my reality is created by my beliefs. As aspects of the all that is, prime creator, I create my own personal reality as God creates through thought. Everything begins with thought. Next, I have an emotional reaction to the thought. Thought plus emotion creates beliefs from which perceptions, behaviors, and patterns of responses are formed. My perceived reality is thus constructed out of those personal belief systems. Nothing can be thrust upon me. I invite everything into my awareness through my thinking. It is my believing that makes it so. And another one. I create 100% of the time. I have the power to choose whether I apply that 100% toward creating what I want or energizing what I don't want. As an aspect of the infinite creator, I too am infinitely and constantly creating. How I choose to flow my thoughts and emotions determines what I attract into my world. And with respect to Bashar's concept that events don't come with built-in meaning, this is a direct quote from the College of Christ Consciousness. All events are neutral. There are no negative experiences, although I can choose to define any experience as negative. Therefore, if I am experiencing negativity in my life, then I have chosen it. Negative or positive definitions are a personal choice of a value judgment placed upon any given situation or event for the purpose of the experience. Since nothing can be in my reality unless I create it, then if it is there and it is negative, then I've chosen for it to be there, and I've chosen to perceive it as negative. I always have another choice. How I feel is a reaction to what I believe. All emotions are responses to thoughts. Positive emotions are responses to thoughts based in God's ultimate truth. Negative emotions are responses to illusionary thoughts based in fear. There are no victims. There are only lessons. If God is all that is, and then there is only one of us here, victim and victimizer are the same one idea. Whichever role I choose to be in any situation is mirroring to me the false beliefs I hold inside, for the purpose of uncovering them. Left unrevealed and unacknowledged, my erroneous beliefs will attract to me their energy equivalent in physical form. To alter the manifested effect of my error thinking, I only need to change my perception and release all judgment, which is the cause of my creation that is being mirrored to me. All apparent victim-victimizer situations offer me the opportunity to overcome judgment and learn about my oneness. And finally, as the last one from the College of Christ Consciousness, there are no limitations. If I have an experience that I define as a limitation, it is happening as a result of the way I think. The appearance of all limitation is merely an effect of error thinking. God has no limitations, and as an aspect of God, neither do I unless I believe that I do, in which case I will create the appearance of limitation as a direct result of my belief. So sort of tying together some of the points made on ET Yoga this evening, it's my sincerest wish that at the top of the show you placed a positive spin on listening to ET Yoga, and somewhere along the line tonight you heard that one little thing that clicked for you that made everything kind of fall into place. And it was actually an exciting week for me this week putting together tonight's show, because it just reminds me that so much of the material about thought, creating, it's not only a connection from a lot of the extraterrestrial channel material from the Palladians, but through Bashar, through Merlin, and the College of Christ Consciousness. And I guess it's comforting in a way to know that lots of different sources all concur with many of the ideas that were presented here tonight on ET Yoga. And I'd like to remind our listeners that if you would like to have an impact on subject matter that's presented on the show, that you can email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paper as in paper, one word with fungo, F-U-N-G-O, at yahoo.ca. And for those people who are interested in the website Healing the Known and the Unknown, that's my website, and that's maxwellgreensite.com. Maxwell is in Maxwell House Coffee, green is in the color, site.com. And also about that site, well, there's some free information there about self-empowerment, and also free information that you can download concerning people that are in abusive relationships. Those who are really interested in techniques such as the XYZ extraterrestrial technique from Bashar, you can find that at the site, and it's under XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. Some of the archived shows from ET Yoga are available at the site for $19.95, as well as my ebooks. And the ebooks are designed to put together the whole concept of healing and the mental aspects as well, including lots of specific techniques like breathing techniques from Swami Sachidananda. And also I connect you to about 150 other pages of linked information to the whole concept of maximizing your immune system and maximizing your spiritual growth. And so at this point in time, I'd like to wish everyone full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and hope you'll tune in again next week. Good night.